Well, go ahead and open to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. If you look here in verse 6, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your ways, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Well, if we back up here to verse 6 and take a look at this. Now remember, this is a prophecy, okay? So let's just assume that God is speaking to us. And he says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near." So what do we see? We see an instruction that we're supposed to be seeking the Lord, right? Then the next thing he says is, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Somebody might say, "Now hold on here. You know, I'm not wicked, all right? You know, I don't have any kind of ways to forsake here. And, you know, I'm not unrighteous. So this thing here about the unrighteous man, you know, turn from his thoughts and so forth and return to the Lord, you know, that doesn't really apply to me." Are you sure? What has happened for us as Christians over the years? And I don't mean over the last 5 years. I'm talking over the centuries. Is that we've gotten to the place of assuming that God is kind of like us. And he says, "Look, you need to seek me, and you need to forsake your way and forsake your thoughts and return to me." We say, "But God, I believe in you. You know, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior and all this, and so I don't understand what you mean." Well, let's state it a little bit differently. If it doesn't line up with anything that I have said here in my word, then it doesn't come from me. And if you are embracing something that has not been established by me, then I consider it to be wicked and unrighteous. And he says, "But if you'll turn to me, then what I'll do is have mercy upon you." If you'll turn away from those things, and notice he says, turn away from your thoughts. Unrighteous thoughts. What are unrighteous thoughts? Thoughts that don't line up with the Word of God. In fact, in the New Testament, it talks about think on these things. Things that are lovely, righteous, praiseworthy, so on and so forth. But let's take it further. He says in verse 8, "My thoughts aren't your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And some people pull this out and they talk about, see, well, you know, you can never figure out what God's going to do and his ways are different and everything, so on and so forth. Yeah, okay, I agree with you on that part. God has said so, his ways are different. God has said that his thoughts are different. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher than ours. But what does he say to do? He says, turn from your thoughts and come to me. What is he telling us in this? He's saying, you have come up with ideas and concepts about me that don't line up with who I am. My ways and my thoughts are higher than your ways or assumptions and thoughts of me, who I am, how I act, and what I'll do. He says, I'm completely different from you. My methods are different than yours. Well, see, that brings up an interesting thought. Since his ways are higher than mine, and his methods are higher than mine, and his thoughts are higher than mine, then wouldn't it behoove me to do what he says and go to him? Because the more I can find out about his ways, his thoughts, and his methods, the better off I'm going to be. And he says as much. Look at this. He says, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He says, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. In other words, that which originates from me, with me, what I speak, what I say, what I decree, what I declare, he says, it won't return void. It will accomplish what I please. What is it going to accomplish? His ways. Is it not? He says, my ways are higher than yours, and I'll send my word. He says, my thoughts are higher than yours. I'll send my word. What do his words contain? His thoughts and his ways. He says, I'll send my word. It will accomplish what I send it to accomplish. It'll prosper in everything I've sent it forth to prosper. Then look what he says in verse 12. He says, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. I shall go out from where? Verse 6. From the place of seeking him. In other words, he wants me to go from where I am into the place where he is and seek him so that I can receive from him his word that will accomplish his ways and his thoughts in my life. And then after I've been in his presence and I've received his word, I go out from his presence to do what? Live according to the word that he's given to me. And he says, you're going to go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Yeah, but God, you know, everything's a mess around me. He says, well, everything may be a mess around you, but you've been in my presence receiving my word from me, my thoughts, my ways, my explanations, my methods. And when you leave my presence to go back out there and deal with these things, you're going to go forth and you're going to be led forth with joy and peace. You're going to go out into the midst of it knowing that my word's going to accomplish what I've sent it forth to accomplish. So what happens is, for us as believers, we sit around and we wonder what's going on. We wonder, why isn't God doing anything? We even will voice these concerns to other people. I just don't know why God's not helping. I just don't know why God isn't doing anything. I just don't understand. We talk about the things that God isn't doing. And God is saying, well, hold on here. I don't consider that to be a very righteous thought. Why don't you get in here in my presence instead of hanging around with everybody else out there? Come to me. My words spoken to you will bring about the change you need so that you can do what I want. It's a very simple thing. But we don't do that. I mean, sometimes we do. But have we done it consistently throughout our lives? No. We haven't. How many times has something come up and instead of spending time with God, what we do is we spend time with other people? I just want answers. I've had people, you know, do that with me. You know, please, you know, tell me, help me. What do I do? How do I? And when I point them back to God, a lot of times they don't want that. They want me to be the voice of God in their life. In other words, they want me to take the place of God in their life. He says, no, you know, you get in there with God. I just can't hear God. And you got that from who? Is that God's way? Is that God's thought? That you cannot hear him? Is that what his word reveals? No, it's not. So where'd you come up with that? Well, I just don't know how to recognize his voice. Is that established in the Word of God? Does it say, and thou shalt not know my voice, thou shalt not hear me, for I do not like thee, thou stinketh? That's not in here. What is in here? He says, those that seek me will find me. That's what's in here. God says, you'll hear my voice. He says, my word, why send your word forth? If nobody can hear it, if nobody can understand it, why speak it? Why do it? Why even give it us the Bible? You with me? He says, listen, You don't see yourself as a verse 7 person, having ways that need to be forsaken and thoughts that need to be laid down. You don't see yourself as this. But you need to try and grab my position, or in other words, grab my vision of what I'm seeing here in all this. You have come up with ideas about me and about the way I do things, and then you turn around and you tell other people these ideas, these thoughts, these ways. You speak these things. And in the process, you're having an impact on other people. You know the phrase, misery loves company? You know what's going to happen in any church? Any church. The people, how can I say this in a way that's really nice? The people who have lots of issues in life, you just give it a matter of time and they are going to find everybody else in the church who has issues. And then you know what they will do? They will get together, not necessarily every service, every Sunday, every whenever, but you'll see them. They'll be together discussing their issues with each other, their problems. You take a visitor, a person who's never been here before, ever, just moved here from who knows, anywhere. They're new, and they come to this church. They say, boy, I like this church. I'm going to hang around. I'm going to be in this church. I believe this is where God wants me. And they are an issue person. You just give them 2 months, attending regularly, 2 months, and they're going to start being drawn to the other issue people. It happens all the time. And it's not just that misery loves company, it's issue people love company. In other words, the verse 7 people here are going to begin to hang around each other. And if you, as a verse 6 seeking the Lord person, enters their circle, they will discuss their issues with you, but you will become the outcast when you begin verse 11-ing the people, giving the word of God. Because even in a loving way, they will refute your verse 11 input. Yes, I know we need to trust God. I know we need to trust God. But you know what? I'm telling you, you know, it's just, boy, I tell you, it's just, you know, and there it goes. And God says, you don't get this, do you? He says, I am deity. I am absolute perfection. I cannot be challenged by Satan. He tried it once. He's no longer around. I know how to create. I know everything. I know the beginning from the end. My ways and thoughts operate so far above yours that you, left to your own devices, cannot in any way, shape, or form come up with how I do things. This is one of the reasons why he's given us the Bible, because it's a revelation in part. It's a revelation of his thoughts and his ways. Okay? To help us come to a greater understanding of how he thinks and what he does. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And to us and our untrained mind, it makes no sense what he does. It makes no sense whatsoever to believe that you can lay hands on people and pray for them and that they'll recover from sickness. That doesn't make any sense. Well, okay, yes, it's in the Bible. I agree with you. It's in the Bible, and all right, but that doesn't make any sense anymore. And see, those are the verse 6 thoughts that people, or the verse 7 thoughts and the wickedness and all this other that people have. And God says, no, you don't get it. My ways are higher than your ways. My ways of doing things. And so what I'm trying to do is reveal to you a way to do something that is established upon my thoughts and my methods. So therefore I say to you, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. But it doesn't make any sense. God, I've been going to church for my whole life. 40 years, God, I've been going to church. Our pastors never taught us anything like that. Because see, listen, I preach it. Lay hands on the sick, pray for them, recover. I preach it, all right? If somebody comes along and they begin to argue with me about that, do you know what they're doing? They're not arguing with me. You are arguing with Almighty God, because all I'm doing is taking His Word that came from on high, applying it to my life, and then repeating it to people who want to listen. You see what I mean? So if you tell me, well, I just didn't make any sense, that's crazy. The problem is not mine. And not only that, I'm not the one that's crazy. Well, explain it then. I can't. Well, you say it's true. Explain it. I can't. So you believe something you can't explain? Yes. Well, that sounds stupid. Are you born again? Well, of course I'm born again, Brother Martin. Explain it. Well, you put your faith in Jesus. Then what? Well, He cleanses you from your sin with His blood. How? Did it stain your clothes when that happened? Well, Brother Martin, you just have to accept some things by faith. I see. So then, what we actually have is, you know how wives accuse their husbands of selective hearing? We have selective faith. God says, my ways are higher than your ways. This is one of the reasons why so many Christians struggle with the whole idea of creation. The Bible says 7 days, 6 for work and a 7th for rest. Okay? That is what the Bible... How many of you understand that's what the Bible says? You can't get 5 minutes into reading the Bible and that's what you discover. That's what it says. Right? Therefore, did it happen? Well, yes, amen. That's right, Brother Martin. It happened. Hallelujah. Okay. Then why is it that you struggle with the idea of light? What do you mean, Brother Martin? Well, you know how they say that light travels, you know, at such a rate of speed and so forth that it takes, you know, all these light years for light to go from point A to point B? Well, if He only created 6 days, 7th day for a rest, then how could the light have traveled all those thousands and millions of years? And how could, and what about, and science, Brother Martin? Don't you dare discount science. I went to school. It took millions of years for the blobs to become monkeys and the monkeys to become your uncle and all the... I thought you said you believed in creation. Well, I do, Brother Martin. I do. But you know, science says bones are millions of years old. The only thing that's calcified is your brain. You can't... Now listen, this is what I'm trying to get at here. God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I've told you in my word, it took me 6 days to create.
Well, it might not have been a real 6 days.
Break it down in the original language. It's days as we know days. Wake up, go to bed, wake up, go to bed, 6 days. All right? That's what it says. That's what it says. And so we as Christians, though, we read this and say, ah, yes, 6 days, God, Creator, King of the universe, hallelujah. And then we run out here for science to explain to us how it worked. And science says billions of years. Science says fossils. Science says this and that and so on and so forth. And so we sit back and say, well, now, Brother Martin, I know what the Bible says. But you know, how do you explain the distance and the travel of the light? How do you explain? And how do you explain? He says, well, here, you want to know how I explain it? I don't have a problem. I can explain it to you. All right? Listen. Yoo-hoo. Listen. I'm ready to explain. Are you ready to listen? In the beginning, God created. There's your explanation. Now, what's your problem? But it just doesn't match up with science. No, no, no. Science can't explain the higher ways and the higher thoughts. That's your problem. You're letting somebody else dictate to you the way you think about God. Well, Brother Martin, I think you're just kind of imbalanced there. No, you're the one that's imbalanced. You're going to put your faith in a Jesus, but you're going to reject what you can't prove with science? What is your problem? You know, if that's how it works, then go to science and ask them to explain the resurrection. Ask them to explain the ascension. Ask them to explain an axe head floating. Ask them to explain the miracles. Ask them to explain your salvation. Ask them to do that. They can't do it. Oh, you're just sounding a little bit fanatical. No, what I'm doing is sound like somebody who's making a decision day by day to believe the Word of God and accept what He said, whether my mind comprehends the process or not. And it just amazes me. I mean, it really does amaze me how intelligent people can be so ignorant. Because God says He did something. If He says He did something, then I don't need to sit down and come up with a mathematical formula to try to explain in human terms what He did. You know why? Because there are some things you're just never going to come up with a mathematical formula. Now, when we get to heaven, He may have a giant blackboard up there with a mathematical formula to explain creation. I don't know. But God says, my ways are higher than your ways. That way, that means that when it comes to creation, He can create a universe, and trust me, He's the one who created light. So therefore, since He created light, He is not bound by the natural laws that govern the operation of light. So why is it so hard to believe that He did it? Now, this isn't a sermon about creation. This is a sermon about what God has said right here in the Word. He says, get it through your head. My thoughts and my ways are higher than yours. Therefore, if I tell you something, then it will work. Oh, but God, No, what you need is to accept what I have said. Oh, but God, what's my word say? My word says if the Son sets you free, you're free. Right? That's what my word says. So do you believe it? Oh, yes, hallelujah. Then why are you struggling? Well, because I need deliverance. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, but I need deliverance. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, but I need deliverance. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, but I need deliverance. You don't get it? You know all this stuff. Look, don't anybody get mad at me, okay? But all these deliverance ministries that are out there, it's not as complicated as what they make it. You know how to get delivered? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You need to, in fact, I've got a teaching series, Understanding Your Deliverance. In fact, I may be teaching a companion series on that pretty soon. Bottom line is, God says my ways are higher than your ways. God says my thoughts, my methods of operation are higher than yours. And listen, guys, look, we need to just resolve it in ourselves. I don't care, even into eternity. When we are glorified bodies, book of Revelation is over, everything's said and done, and here we are, we are in forever. You understand what I mean? Even then we're not going to understand. Why will we not understand even then? Because we are never going to become deity. In other words, God's saying, look, deity operates a whole lot different than what deity has created. Deity thinks at a higher plane than that's much higher than what deity has created. And so we look for answers, but the answers are right here in the Word of God. We look for solutions. The solutions are right here in the Word of God because His ways are higher. That's what I meant earlier about how that, you know, we want to believe that God's like us. And if we don't have an answer, well, then He doesn't have an answer. Because if I have an answer, that means He must have an answer. Therefore, if I don't have an answer, He doesn't have an answer. So I need to find out from you what you think, because obviously God ain't got a clue. How many of you have ever in your life thought, well, I just wonder why God isn't? I wonder how come God didn't. I don't know this, that, and the other. God says, look, you're never going to figure me out, but you can understand me. Okay? He says, my ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than yours. I operate at a whole different plane. But my thoughts are directed to you. And he talks in another place. I think it's Jeremiah. My thoughts toward you are thoughts of peace, thoughts of an expected end, and so on. So if his thoughts toward me are peace of an expected end and so forth, then that means if I get in his presence, like he said here in verse 6, seek me, then there's a really good chance that I'm going to be able to receive from him an impartation, if you will, of his thoughts. In other words, he's going to communicate with me his thoughts. He's going to help me understand things. And you have to, okay. Imagine your God trying to explain deity to a human being. He can't do it. Just the whole thought, I am that I am. Moses says, well, who do I tell him sent me? God says, oh boy, what do I say? Okay, just tell him I am that I am sent you. And so Moses said, that's it? Yeah, that's it. All right. Moses, who sent you? I am that I am sent me. Okay, we get it. In the New Testament, when they went to arrest Jesus, remember this? Jesus says, who are you looking for? He knew. Who are you looking for? They said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Now in the Bible it says, I am, and then in italics it says, he. He didn't say he. You know what he said? I am. Buddy, the moment he said, I am, the power of those words hit those guys and kaploop, down they went. Now, most of us would have tucked tail and run. He ain't going to arrest me. He just stood there. Help him up, boys. They get up and they arrest him and take him in. Now, you have to understand, those guys fall flat on their back by the power of God. And they get up and Jesus is still there. They've got to be scratching their heads thinking, why didn't he leave? Why did he just hang around? Doesn't he know that we're going to do him harm? Why'd he wait? It had to have made an impression on them. God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And he says, look, my word will accomplish what I send it to accomplish. What do you need accomplished in your life? If you find it in my word, it will accomplish what I say. The problem isn't with my word. The problem is in what you believe. Now, let me kind of... We might come back here to Isaiah. Turn over to Job. You know the story of Job. All kinds of tragedy hits. Kids die and the animals die in his lands. And enemies invade and so on and so forth. And he gets all these boils on his body. Things are just a mess for Job. Well, then he has these friends that come by. Eliphaz, Elihu, Bildad, and Zophar. And they show up, to help him. Now, you know that when they showed up, their intention was to help. They weren't going to try to make things worse. Their intention was to help the guy. He was a friend. Remember earlier, people with issues? Remember? And so everybody that has their thoughts and their comprehension of what God does, they will gladly share it with you. And that's what's happened here with Job and his four friends. They show up and they start, they're giving him their theology from their church. And, Elihu, he's, well, according to, what our pastor says, Job, if you'd have done this and done that, then these things wouldn't have happened. And, Bildad says, well, at our church, our pastor was talking about some of these things the other day. And Job, if you had done this and had done that, then these things wouldn't. And he's on and on and on. So here we have Job and his four buddies, these five people that are sitting around in a circle and they're talking about all these things. And they're all giving their ideas. They're all giving their thoughts. They're all giving their input. They're all giving their theology. And they're all giving their explanations of what God is doing. Well, God's up in heaven, and He's watching this, and He's listening. Man, these guys go on and on and on, and they think they're helping, and they think that they're giving truth. They think they're speaking for God. They think that they're imparting wisdom unto Job. And finally, God has it up to here. And in chapter 38, it says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?'" All these people, Job and his four buddies, sitting there spouting off all this theology and all this doctrine, and God shows up and He says, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" What's He saying? He's saying, you guys are messed up. You guys are wrong. But every one of them thought they had a handle on what God does. Every one of them thought that they had a comprehension of the way God operates. But their comprehension and their understanding of the way God operates and the way God does things was based totally upon their own conclusions about the way people do things. It had nothing to do with the way God does things. You say, well, how do you know that? Because God said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" In other words, He says, you're talking a lot, but you're not saying much. You do not have the knowledge of what you're talking, what you're speaking, what you're imparting. There's no knowledge, even though to the casual observer, even though to a lot of other people who would have sat around and listened, it's like, wow, yeah, that must be true. Boy, I tell you what, this guy, Bildad, he knows what he's talking. Elias, I heard him teach Sunday school the other day. This guy, he's smart. Listen to him, Job. And God says, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel with words that have no knowledge?" In other words, back there in Isaiah, He says, the unrighteous thoughts, He said, turn to Me. We can be surrounded by people who love God, who are trying to help us, but what they are speaking into our lives is nothing but darkening of counsel. And they truly can sound smart and intelligent. Hey, we've all heard them on the radio. You've all watched them on television. And they'll tell you all kinds of things. Seriously, this thing about, you know, Job's buddies. All you have to do is turn on Christian television. Just any network, just turn it on and watch. And you're going to have a Bildad. You're going to have an Elihu. You're going to have an Elias. You're going to have a Zophar. One right after the other. Each one giving their input. Each one giving you a different idea. Each one giving you a different opinion. Explaining God. And then God speaks up out of the whirlwind and says, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" Where are you coming up with this? And verse 3, look at this. He's speaking to Job. He says, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." In other words, you think you guys are so smart? You think you know what? You think you know why you haven't been delivered? You think you know why you haven't been changed? You think you know why this has happened or why this hasn't happened? You think you understand? Okay, then fine. Then here's what we're going to do. We're going to compare knowledge right here and right now. I'm going to ask you some questions. I want you to explain to me some of these things. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. You tell me. Where I don't remember. I looked around, but I didn't see you on day one of creation. I looked around on day two. I didn't see you. Day three, four, five, and six. I even looked around on day seven when we were sitting back sipping our lattes in heaven. I didn't see you. He says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof?" And he goes on and on here chapter 38. I mean, verse 18, "Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all." And he just on and on. And in chapters 38 and 39, He reveals how that he has, how God has put in animals instinctive behavior. It's all in here. You know, they talk about over the millions of years, you know, the duck-billed Sasquatch developed the instinct to preserve his... Bull honky! Read the book. Chapter 38, chapter 39 of Job give more understanding of creation and how things came about than any science class you will ever take in school. Yes, but science talks about the molecules. Yeah, well, God created the molecules. Yes, but God, science explains how the atoms bounce off each other and the protons, the neutrons, the introns, the outrons, and all these other trons doing. Yeah, well, God's the one that created all the trons. And so God is going through this list. Just read this. We're not going to take the time today to read it, but just read Job 38 and 39, all these things that God is going over with Job. And I can just see Job. He's sinking further and further. And then finally, look in chapter 40, verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. In other words, you think you're so smart. You think you have all these answers. You're telling everybody why God did and why God didn't, how come, and this isn't for today, and that passed away, and this died out, and so on and so forth. And God says, I've been looking for you around the throne, and I can't find you. You were not there. The Bible says that Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world, and that whole plan of salvation, what we have, who we are, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, all of that existed from before the foundation of the world, and it was just waiting for the introduction of the Son into earth so that that plan could be released to mankind. It's been waiting all this time. All this time. And so here we are, we're talking about what God doesn't do, what God does do. What we're doing here is contending with the Almighty and instructing Him and reproving Him. That's what we're doing. And why? Because our counsel has been darkened with words without knowledge. In other words, no matter how smart we sound, we really don't know what we're saying. We really don't know what we're talking about. However, if I turn around and I take the words that He has given, I apply those words and I begin to speak those words, you know what happens? I begin to see His will take place in my life. Even though I don't understand how I, a human being, can hear God, the fact that He has said that I can hear Him means that if I do what He has said in His Word, then I can come to the place of being able to hear Him. It's just amazing to me. I've spoken with Christians. I'm not talking about, Sunday Christians and bar hoppers Monday through Saturday. I'm talking genuine 7-day-a-week Christians, okay? And get into conversations to talk about, God was speaking to me and He said, and then they look at me like I've been smoking dope. You hear God? You hear voices? So God talks to you? Well, what's He sound like? Now, I know you mean well, but you know what you just told me? You have no clue. That doesn't mean I'm better than you. It means that I started where you were and I applied the things that God said and I got to the place by applying those things that God said so that I can hear God. Okay? We all start at the same place. You need to understand that. We all start at, point A. But it's what we do from that point A on that makes the difference. And if I take the Word of God and I let the Word of God be the standard for me, then I'll get to point B, point C, and so on and so forth. And so He says, who are you that you come and contend with me and reprove me and instruct me? And if you look over in chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. If ever there was wisdom in Scripture, it's right there. In other words, you know what, God? In my mind, I just try to play this out. Where were you when I did? Where were you? Can you explain this? Can you do? I mean, he's just going over and he's just barely scratching the surface of everything he's done. And he knows that Job has no clue. And so Job's listening to this and saying, man, my good, if you want to be humble, just read Job 38 and 39. And Job, he says, you know what, God? You're right. Now that I think about this from your perspective, which is what God was trying to do to try to get Job to reevaluate his position of thought, okay, in verses or chapter 38 and 39. Job says, well, you know what? I realize now that we've all been very wrong about you. And that we really don't know. You say, well, Brother Martin, what's all this got to do with me? Okay. It has a lot to do with this. Because as long as you don't believe you're delivered, you will not be delivered. You understand what I mean? As long as you don't believe that you've been delivered, then you're not going to live a delivered life. As long as you don't believe you're healed, then you're going to trust the doctors to come up with some pill that's going to fix it. And if they don't have a pill, you'll make out your will. You know what I mean? You can quote me on that. In other words, if we don't make a decision to come to the place of accepting what God has said, then we're never going to come to the place of having a better understanding of Him and understanding, coming to a receiving, if you will, of His thoughts. Now, let me just, a couple of things here. His ways are higher, His thoughts are higher. Now, He wants us to come to the place of receiving from Him and understanding as much as we possibly can about Him. He says, I want you to know about me. I want you to know more about how I operate and so on and so forth. Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about how that God has given for us to understand a lot of these things. It was His will that we would come to the understanding of, to our glory. And so God, He says something in Scripture. He says, if you will confess my word, you'll begin to see my will operate in your life. Well, that faith and confession stuff, that doesn't work. God says, my ways are higher than your ways. I revealed to you clearly in my word that faith and confession does work. Just read Genesis 1, 2, 3. Just read it. God says, I really want you to come to the place of having a greater comprehension of me and understanding things, understanding my will, hearing my voice, and so forth. So, I will give to you something that you don't presently have. The Holy Spirit has been sent to give to you a miracle. He will work a miracle in your life just like that. He will give you the ability to speak in a language that is not earthly. It is a language that originates in heaven. By the use of that language, when you pray, it will enable me, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to pray through you my perfect will. Now, you'll refer to it as praying in tongues, but you're going to be praying in the language that I have created. Well, God, that just... tongues aren't for today. You just can't pray in tongues anytime you want. What's the matter with you? What are we doing? We are reproving God and trying to instruct Him. And He says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So therefore, if I tell you that praying in tongues will be of benefit to you, then you need to accept that it will be of benefit. But I don't understand it, God. He says, well, he goes back to that higher ways and higher thoughts. Of course you don't understand. Why don't you create a language and give it to everybody and enable them to pray in it without giving them lessons? Well, nobody can do that. But I can. I'm God. God talks about meditation in the Word. God talks about fasting. I mean, and there are so many other things that God reveals in Scripture, and His Word won't return void. Therefore, His Word about fasting will accomplish what He has said it will accomplish. His Word about meditation in the Word will accomplish what He has sent it forth to accomplish. It will do it. Praying in tongues, confession of the Word. He sent it forth. He has said, look, it's in my Word. I've sent my Word forth. Now, the application of that which I have sent forth will produce my will. But you have to come to the place of laying down your own thoughts and embracing that which is inconceivable to the human mind. Embracing that which you don't think works. Embracing that which so much of your religion will tell you doesn't work. But here's the problem. So much of our religion is darkening our counsel. You're never going to understand how God set the stars in place. You're never going to understand gravity. You know what I'm talking about. I don't understand gravity. Depending upon what scientists you read, I'll say it this way. Gravity itself is made up of particles. Now that's the purists, the scientists. Brother Martin, you have no clue what you're talking about. Who are you that instructeth us? Okay, just do your own research. Light is made up of particles. Okay. 120 years ago, if you had gone to somebody and say, you know this light right here? And they said, yes. You know what we're going to do with this light? No, what are you going to do? We're going to take it and we're going to like squeeze it down to a little beam the size of a pencil lead, and then we're going to cut through steel with it. Dude, you're weird. You need to lay off the ale. Quit chewing those peyote buttons. I mean, just something. But what have we done? We've taken the light, and we have squeezed it down to a tiny little beam, and now we can cut through steel. But not only that, we can put it inside a box and it can read musical information on a silvery looking plastic like disc. How do they do that? Well, I don't know, but you play them. You didn't write to the company and say, give me a scientific explanation of these CDs and how they work. Bless God, I want to know before I buy the thing and play it. No, you just went out and bought them and played them, and you don't care, just as long as you get the results. So why doesn't that same thought process apply to the things of God? Why can't we just sit back and say, I do not understand how praying in tongues works, but God said it works, so therefore I'm just going to do it, and I get the results. You know, the properties for creating a laser beam have existed in light since Genesis chapter 1. And it has taken thousands of years for man to finally figure out how to do it. What else can we do with light? What else? Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? Say, Martin, Brother Martin, please don't go off on another one of those tangents. Please don't do that. God's word will not return void. God's word will accomplish what it says it will accomplish. What we don't need is our counsel darkened by the Bildads of the world. The people that genuinely are trying to help us, but they can't because they do not... If somebody stands up and tells you praying in tongues doesn't work, they are a Bildad in your life. They're an Elihu in your life. They're any of these others. That's what they are. And they're darkening counsel. And the day's going to come. Once more, God's going to speak out of the whirlwind of heaven. Why did you darken the counsel of my children with words having no knowledge? Were you here when I did and when I... No, I wasn't. I'm so sorry. Apologize to them. It's their lives you messed up, not mine. Thank God he wipes away the tears. Look. I can't explain to you how everything in the Word of God works. But I can read the Word of God and tell you what it says. And I can see in the Word of God that He says it works. Therefore, understand it or not, it works. And it won't return void. It works. Don't let your counsel be darkened by well-meaning people who are speaking words without knowledge into your life. Get into the Word and let God have the final say-so in everything. The Lord says that there are some things in your life that have not changed, things that you've struggled with. He says, you have received your answer today in this message. Take what I have said, apply it to your life, and those things you desire to see changed will change. For my word cannot fail.